Trustee Rita Athus.
Here.
Trustee Dennis Barsima.
Here.
Vice Chair John Butler.
Here.
Trustee Veronica Herrero.
Here.
Trustee James Ennis.
Here.
Trustee Leland Strom. Trustee Eric Watsowitz.
Here.
Board Chair Montel Gales.
Here. Mr. Perry, will you please confirm that the appropriate notice of this meeting has been provided and that we have a quorum present?
Mr. Chair, you have a quorum present. An appropriate notice has been provided pursuant to the Illinois Open Meetings Act.
Thank you. May I have a motion to approve the agenda as proposed?
So move, Watsowitz.
Is there a second?
Second, Athus.
Any discussion? All in favor indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstention? The motion carries. May I have a motion to approve the minutes of the special meeting of the Board of Trustees on November 13th, 2025?
So move, Barsima.
Thank you. Is there a second?
Second, Herrero.
Again, is there any discussion? Hearing none, all in favor indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? Motion carries. Now, may I have a motion to approve the minutes of the special meeting of the Board of Trustees on November 20th, 2025?
So moved, Athus.
Second, Ennis.
Thank you. Thank you. Again, is there any discussion? Hearing none. All in favor indicate by saying aye.
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 Any opposed? Any abstentions? The motion carries. Chair's comments. I want to welcome the University Advisory Committee, the UAC representatives present today. The current UAC representatives are Felicia Bohannon, Brad Creed, Benjamin Creed, Brad Kripe, Larissa Garcia, Thomas Kuzinski, Jim Slagstad. Do any of you have any comments?
We do today. I'm just working through the multiple layers of login to pull them up.
Take your time, my friend.
Yeah, no, I got them here now. So thank you very much for the time. And we do have a comment for today. First of all, we want to wish members of the board and everybody else in the room happy holidays, and yes, we hope folks find some rest and joy over the upcoming weeks. I just want to say recently, members of the board had reached out to invite more engagement from the University Advisory Council to the BOT during this slot on the agenda. In response to that request, we have met, the UAC to the BOT has met to discuss how we can respond to that invitation. First of all, we welcome the opportunity to share more directly with the board and with the broader community perspectives and feedback related to the items that come before the board. However, as we read our current duties and the practices that we currently engage in, it does not fully align with that request yet to be able to just speak openly and freely in this space. So according to those bylaws, the UAC to the BOT is an advisory body to the president of the institution about matters that come before the board. And as such, we've reached out to President Freeman and her team to think about how we can rethink our duties as specified in the NIU bylaws and or the practices so that the board can have a more open channel and has an opportunity to hear more directly from the members of the UAC committee on behalf of those that we represent so that we can make sure we're bringing forward perspectives and feedback from campus to the Board of Trustees in the spirit and manner as specified in our Board of Trustees or in our NIU bylaws specified duties. In that spirit, we did let President Freeman know that we had a little bit more extended comments, and of which she, maybe to no surprise, said, please share them without any additional perspective added. So we had two things we wanted to bring up today at the meeting related to the items coming before the Board of Trustees, and that is related to the university goals for 2026 and the 2025 annual performance review of President Freeman. So starting with the university goals, we wanted to acknowledge that the value this annual setting of the goals has for our campus. The anchoring of this process in the strategic action planning framework, the setting of multi-year goals, and allowing for flexibility in the year-to-year goal setting process have allowed for these university goals to remain, to move from words on screens or paper to be relevant and action oriented, that is consistent, but also being adaptive and flexible to the conditions that the institution operates within. The consistency and flexibility can be seen not only in the goals themselves, but also in how they are developed. Which included this year, which has also included campus voices in the goal setting process. So while it's always been a part of the process, this year there was a substantive improvement in the process for how and when the input from campus was sought. In years past, we've had the opportunity in different shared governance bodies and shared leadership venues to review drafts of the goals that are specific to the charges of those bodies and provide feedback and responses and deepening of those goals, which has been welcome and I think helpful. This year, the twist was President Freeman and her team came to those bodies with guiding questions to gather input even before a draft goal was set up to provide opportunities for campus to speak into those goals and inform the president and her team as she builds those goals for this year. So the president engaged with multiple groups across campus that invited discussion and feedback, and that using specific questions aimed at each of those specified duties. We believe that those bodies were able to shape and inform the goals as they came before this body and before campus. And we welcome this shift to being a little bit more proactive in that process and informative. And we believe it's an improvement. And we really believe that it reflects the spirit of shared governance that NIU values. And we look forward to continuing to improve on this year's efforts as we look towards next year's university goal setting process. And the second thing, turning to the 2025 annual performance review of President Freeman, we recognize and appreciate the amount of effort that the board takes and care the board takes in conducting this annual evaluation. We look forward to hearing more about that process today. And we also believe this is an important exercise that allows the summary of the review to be made public. And per conversation with members of the board, we as the UAC to the BOT look forward to working with the Board of Trustees to continue improving this process, whether that is through the involvement of this body, the UAC to the BOT, or working with shared governance bodies or some other approach. We are a willing thought partner in those efforts, and we will welcome continued opportunity to include campus voice in that evaluation process as makes sense and is asked for by the Board of Trustees to make that process even more rich than it already is, not suggesting anything besides a building on strength. So again, we thank you to the Board of Trustees for this invitation to share more directly, and we look as a university advisory, the UAC to the BOT, we look to play a more engaged role in these meetings and in other spaces as makes sense as we operationalize the request that, as I heard it. And so thank you again for the time, and those are our comments.
And thank you for your comments. Thank you. Thank you. Let me continue on by saying at the start, my personal comments by congratulating our December graduates, right? This is a proud moment for our graduating students and their families. From a personal perspective, I'm sitting on the sidelines right now. My daughter is graduating after 3.5 years from Spelman College. However, she will only be able to march now in May, but she'll be back home in a couple of minutes. She's actually coming in this weekend, and I'm sure she'll be draining me dry of my resources. I truly understand the pride our NIU students are feeling right now as they prepare for their families and the graduation ahead. As presented under item number 9B, the 2025 annual performance review of President Freeman. It has been posted for public review, as you've mentioned. I commend the president on her 2025 performance. That commendation extends to her staff and other members of the NIU leadership team throughout the campus. The board recognizes that President Freeman's success, in fact, the very success of this university, depends on the efforts of each and every NIU employee. It takes all of us to operate this institution and provide a quality learning experience for each of our students. It will take all of us to balance the university's budget in 2026. Again, I commend President Freeman on her efforts and state the obvious. We still have a lot of work to do. In closing, happy Hanukkah to all of our Jewish brothers and sisters who will be celebrating Hanukkah from December 14th through the 22nd, and Merry Christmas and Happy Kwanzaa to everyone else. That's it. Let's move on with our agenda. We recognize members of the public who have complied with state law and Board of Trustees bylaws by registering their written requests to address the board with our parliamentarian. Mr. Perry, have we received any timely requests to address this meeting?
Mr. Chair, we have received two timely requests for public comment. The first received was by Mr. Jaime Borda. I don't think they are present. The second public request to speak was by Mr. Tim Burns, who is here.
Sir, let me remind you, you have 5 minutes, and yes, please step to the podium. Thank you.
Greetings and thank you. My name is Tim Burns, and I am the parent of two 18-year-old twins at NIU and also a 13-year-old middle school student in eighth grade. As parents, we have never been in this situation before. We are caught in the middle of history. We are parents with kids in the system now, and with kids that are going to be in the system in the future, are basically subject to the big, beautiful bill. We're still trying to figure out what this means for our current kids in terms of the ability to repay, how we're going to repay, what that looks like, as well as what the aggregate yearly and lifetime caps will mean for our kids that will be taking out loans after July 1st, 2026 for the first time. This kind of changes the game in terms of, well, as parents, what is your role for your kids in college? Is your role just to be a silent partner, or is your role to be kind of an investment monitor to make sure that things are going according to plan? Because quite literally, if for two kids I've had to borrow, I was able to borrow up to the cost of attendance, and I know that I'm not going to be able to borrow up to the cost of attendance in 3 years, that changes what we do as a household economy. So that kind of changes the role of us as parents. Knowing that we get one bite at the apple, so to speak, with that yearly aggregate cap kind of changes things in terms of, well, should we continue? Because if you have a bad year, well, that bad year is not just a bad year. That bad year is against the $65,000 cap that is a lifetime aggregate cap under the big, beautiful bill. So embedded in this question is the question of formative feedback. And that is why when the president mentioned, I'm sorry, the board of trustee president, I apologize, is your title, chairman. I apologize, chairman. With regard to the idea of work that still needs to be done, one of the areas that has to be focused on is redefining what is the purpose of the blackboard suite within the grading system. Is it a formative feedback? Is it a system that's designed to give parents and kids, or kids to give parents access, knowledge of where they stand? Or is it just an old school teacher's notebook for record keeping? Because quite literally, I'm going to say this, it's a humbug. Since it's the holiday season, it's a humbug because it's fake and deceptive, because I'm going to bet you at this moment in time, the largest numerical amount of grades is probably submitted, not yet graded. And I think that by going into finals exam, whether you call it reading day or finals, parents and kids should know exactly where they stand, and they should not be surprised in any way, shape, or form. They should know, hey, there should be a fate they can play aspect to finals to know, well, if I land here in this final, or if I land here in this final, I know exactly where I'm going to come across, so I can decide whether I should invest time in that final or invest time in a final that I know I'm on the bubble on. So I think that in terms of the work, there has to be some improvement in Blackboard Suite so that you know exactly where you stand, because quite literally, after July 1st, 2026, if it looks like you're on the bubble, there's going to be a lot more parents just saying, look, you cannot afford to take out another Parental Plus loan unless we know that you're going to do well because you have these lifetime caps. And so that is why today my message is, one, I think that future parents and current parents really need to know what exactly the big, beautiful bill means for current loans that we have out and how that's going to look like. But ultimately, we do need to know where our kids stand in order to make the decision whether or not we should take out Parental Plus loans to continue at the university, or if a community college is needed in order to ensure we have the lifetime aggregate cap to finance their education over the course of 4 years. And I thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for your comments. Moving to agenda item number 7, our reports of the board committees and board liaisons. The reports of the board committees and board liaisons can be found under agenda item number 7. Do any of the trustees have questions or comments regarding the written reports, items 7A through 7F? Hearing none, I'm going to move on. Michael Daigler, President and CEO of the NIU Foundation, will provide a verbal report for item 7G.
Thank you, Chair Gales.
Thank you. Sorry.
Appreciate the opportunity to be here with you all this morning. And my teammate and leader in everything we do. Ray is here also. And so, Crystal, if we could go to the next slide. I wanted to spend a minute just talking a little bit about leadership transition. We know that the Division of University Advancement and the Foundation embarked on July 1st into a new world of leadership, and that is basically me and Ray together leading the team. And I just wanted to talk a little bit about what I talk with the Foundation Board and committees about on a regular basis, because they're very interested in how we're leading the team. A number of years ago, we went down the road of talking about core values, inconsistent relationship to mission, vision, and values that exist at the university, but also within the foundation, within the Alumni Association, and within our division. And really was an internal staff effort to just land on some core values that we could look at on a daily basis to drive our work and partnership together. There were a number of conversations over a period of time, and July 1st gave Ray and I a really great opportunity to use that work in a way that brought our team along with us on this transition. And so I think this WIN logo is pretty cool. It plays off of our NIU logo. And when we talk about core values on a daily basis that our team can look at and know why we're doing the work we do, these are both internal to us as well as external. And so when we talk about WIN, we talk about work together, inspire trust, and we never want to quit the work we're doing. And that's both internal to the work we do together in our division with our campus partners, but you can see they're certainly external to the work we do in development and fundraising. And we're working toward this kind of culture that we want our team to see this every single day and commit to these core values every day. The other thing we're doing is making sure we want to communicate with our team clearly and consistently. And so we now push out a forward progress newsletter. It's a play off the campaign, but it's also a play off of Ray and I as student athletes and the value we found in sports, especially playing football, if you know what forward progress means. And
is that the tush push or what?
Yeah, well, no, that's more when we meet resistance. We're not going to stop. But this newsletter really is an opportunity for us to communicate as leaders to the whole team in a way that is signed by both of us. So it's total collaboration. And also we provide professional development opportunities for our staff. We share resources that are unique to our industry and to the work we're doing. We lift up the values and we give examples of how our team lives these values on a daily basis. And what I can say, I believe, is our feedback has been tremendously positive on the communication, and our team engages with us and gives us feedback, and we just continue to improve how we're doing this. And we really want to start looking at how we can adapt this a little bit to share with our campus partners, our co-leaders across campus, but also externally. I really want to start sharing a version of this with the Foundation Board on a consistent basis. So just a little bit about the confidence I think is important for everyone to know. We're doing this together. We're moving forward. And we're bringing the team along with us and our partners. And we're always open to feedback. Next slide, please. So some really exciting news to share as we embark on the end of what we call the first half of our fiscal year. Campaign progress continues to move forward in a very momentous way and in a very positive way. Some things to highlight on this timeline, and we track on this at a very high level with the team across the board and the foundation. But building off of the June 14th event, I think it's important to recognize the launch of the campaign committee underneath our co-chairs, and we'll talk a little bit more about that meeting. But you can see that our progress toward goal of $300 million has really intensified since the public phase launch. And we'll talk a little bit more on annual metrics and annual success and what Ray and I look at every single day with the team. But just some very exciting momentum, engagement, continued new engagement, and continued support from people that have supported us in the past and really are bought in. I just want to call out again, when we talk about campaign success at a high level of tracking close to $180 million at this point, we have to recognize this is all sources of funds that we kind of track related to success in a comprehensive campaign. And I think it's important to recognize this is a comprehensive campaign working across the whole university. We're looking to raise dollars in every way that aligns with the goals of the university, the strategic vision of the university. And so when we talk about what these dollars are, it includes outright gifts right now. It includes multi-year pledges that come in over time. It also includes deferred giving, which are critical pathways to sustain success within our business. And so that's consistent with comprehensive campaign and the definition of how you would talk about success within a comprehensive campaign. We can go next slide, please. When we talk about campaign leadership, and I talked a little bit about the launch of the campaign committee, the campaign committee is a great cross-section of our university in every way we would think about representing our university and our student body. We're led by five outstanding co-chairs. They happen to be foundation board members also, but that was coincidence, honestly. It's just a nice alignment between the work we're doing in the foundation in partnership with the university, but I know you recognize all of these people, I think. Sherilyn, Manny, and Pat Pulido-Sanchez, and then Ray Banks and Eric Erickson. And their leadership has been outstanding amongst this group of volunteer leaders. We expand generations, so we're trying to get every single constituent base within our population of potential volunteers and donors engaged in the campaign. And this group has really been critical to helping do that. I just want to share a quick story. President Freeman was obviously in the campaign launch meeting where we had everybody except one, I think, which was your alum, our alum, Jordan Lynch, who was too busy planning to win another state championship in that meeting. But we went around and introduced ourselves, and I think the main point is those leaders right there that you're looking at did a tremendous job talking about their passion, you know, their connection, their drive and want to be leading this group of volunteers. And then we went around and every volunteer had the chance to do that. We had a robust agenda. We had a pivot. We were texting each other because it just went on and on and on in the most positive way that people really expressed why they're doing this, why they jumped on board, the things that mean the most to them within this campaign. And so we have a lot of great work ahead of us with this campaign committee to continue that success and build on that excitement and enthusiasm. I want to move on a little bit to just high-level success that we're seeing leading up to the end of this first half of the year. So we can go to the next slide, please. When we look at tracking success, we look at a lot of things underneath this, but just high-level. At the end of Q1, we were at 29% of what we look at on an annual goal within the Division of University Advancement and our fundraising activity. Obviously, that annual goal flows up to campaign success that we just looked at. But what I can tell you is being 29% a goal at the end of our first quarter was tremendous movement and excitement and motivation for the team. These are the things that our groups of people and the people that do our business get up and do every day, and it's what motivates us. So we had a strong first quarter. Really driven by growth and engagement, major gift and principal gift activity. And just the momentum reinforces our key goal of continuing to build toward more annual sustainable fundraising efforts, which is kind of a sub-goal within this campaign when we come to the end of it, that we are continuing just increase our capacity. When we look at Q2, we are already truthfully about 60% of our annual goal. And so we are really happy with what we think December 31st is going to end to be like. We know that going into the last few weeks with annual giving and the focus on different types of direct mail and those kinds of strategies that are always part of what we do, but our major gift and principal gift pipeline is really supportive of a strong end to Q2, which will put us into the last half of the year not only around campaign success, but continued success with the team. We can go to the next slide, please. So I know that we've talked a little bit in the past around how we're engaging students, and I think we wanted to just highlight a little bit more of what we're doing to engage our students. And we really look at Huskies United, which will come up on April 1st and April 2nd, as an opportunity to continue to build what we call the culture of philanthropy with our student body. And so we have some great activities and key strategies which we're going to continue to build on. We get our students engaged in thanking our donors through handwritten notes, and our donors love when they hear from our students. They hear their stories directly, and please, you know, I love writing handwritten notes because the value of a handwritten note today is extremely valuable to a donor, to a volunteer, to a constituent. We're embarking on some new technology. Give Campus is a new giving platform that we're starting to launch, and will integrate fully come July 1 into the next fiscal year, but it really gives an opportunity for students to engage in an easy way with technology, which we know is very important to them, and make it not something that's cumbersome or confusing. And so, you know, we don't get aggressive pushing the opportunity for students to give, but we give them an opportunity to a platform to do that. I know that we've talked about Gradpalooza. We've talked about the things we're doing around graduation in the past with the cords. And it's an opportunity to really continue to build that culture of philanthropy among our students so that when they leave, they understand there is that opportunity and we want them to continue to engage with us. So that's important. And some new other things we're going to do. The cash cap is kind of a cool, fun thing that will be set up for them to do. And we use some resources we have to give them an opportunity to grab money. But then they get the opportunity to really decide where they want to give it back. So what's important to them? Is it scholarship? Is it a program? Is it something that just really means something to them? And while it might not be their own resources, it still gives this idea of what it means to give back. And what does it mean to attach to something that is important to me? And then we're going to have pop-up donation tables, again, to let them leverage if they want the opportunity to give. And then, you know, we give them the opportunity on social to share this with their own networks, whether that be their friends, their parents, their aunts, their uncles, whoever it might be. So another thing we're doing related to student engagement, and we can go to the next slide, please, is our student ambassador program, which we started recruitment back in November. And really the whole idea here is that we want to really work with students, not only to bring them into the work we do, but give them an idea of what career development and pathways could be in the work that we do. It's such a great business. If this is something you do want to do, it's an opportunity to really have a meaningful work life if this is something that might attach to your career goals. But many people don't get exposure to the work we do, and so we want to give students the opportunity to do that. It's an opportunity for them to give back, to get involved, to take pride in our community, and really help represent the NIU Foundation at campus events, donor relation events, and really gain some real life experience too. No matter where they go, we're in a relationship-based business, and I think that that's a skill that's going to help you in anything you do. And so we're going to continue to build on this program, and we're going to continue to figure out how we can give our students meaningful experiences in partnership with us, and just some of the things we're doing with students. And I think that that's come up in the past, like I said, so we wanted to highlight that. So we can go to the next slide. You know, just looking ahead and what's next. You know, obviously we're going to continue to execute against our comprehensive campaign, continue to build our major gift and principal gift work and pipeline. And we're confident in looking at that information right now as we continue into the next half of this year and with a future view to succeeding in the campaign. That includes partnership with people across campus. We can't do this work alone. We don't do it in a silo. We partner so that we can get our donors and our constituents understanding and building relationships amongst the university leaders and even, you know, down into the colleges with faculty members. This is what they like and this is what they care about. And so we really want to make sure we're continuing to do that. Helps build our pipeline. We're going to continue to partner with our university leaders. Ray and I were welcomed into the Council of Deans yesterday. And we want to continue to meet with our partners and talk about how we can lead with them, how we can understand what resources might be needed, how does that help us pivot, or how does this help us go find the resources, all related to goals and campaign progress. We want to build on the strong Huskies and Vests that athletics had, continuing to strengthen our opportunities to partner with athletics in fundraising, volunteer, and engagement. And we recognize that there's opportunity as we move into the new world with the Mountain West and the Horizon League. We're looking at ways we can expand our markets of engagement as we go to different areas that we haven't been before. And so a lot of work behind the scenes there, and certainly we'll pick up when we have a better idea of where we're going to be in the fall for those schedules. But continue to do that work in partnership. And then, you know, we're going to bring visibility to year-end giving. You should see the next issue of Northern Now in homes, I hope, by next week. I know we will have hard copies by next week, and those will be arriving. And there's opportunities to just obviously learn more about campaign progress, how the work we're doing aligns with the third commitment in this case. And there are opportunities for people to execute on year-end giving within Northern Now, but also within the work we're doing in the annual fund to capitalize on year-end giving. And so I think we can go to the next slide. The other thing we have big on deck here, we go to Florida for a number of days to engage with constituents across the state. We'll be on the East Coast, we'll be in Southwest Florida. We continue to see our engagement in those areas grow because people are spending more time down there or moving to Florida. And so we're really excited about the opportunities to bring some campaign messaging to those areas. And then we'll be in Arizona at the end of February and the beginning of March. We go and do a few engagement events in Arizona because we have a pretty strong constituent base out in Arizona at that time also. And we engage with our leaders and our donors in these events also. Former board members host events for us and current board members host events for us, but they also are very supportive and show up to help us engage, share the message, and sometimes they help us build that pipeline, which is actually an amazing partnership that we have. And so I think that concludes my remarks, and I would just like to also conclude saying, in the spirit of gratitude and Thanksgiving and the upcoming holidays, I want to thank you all for your support. Many of you have been out with us in the last few weeks. We had our Chicago alumni event on Tuesday. Many of you in this room were there. Thank you for being there. Again, it's a partnership. We don't do this alone. And when you're there, it just helps the work we do in the most valuable way. But then we also just love seeing you because you're great people. And then I just want to say happy holidays, and I hope everyone has a fantastic new year.
Thank you, thank you, thank you. Before I open it up for questions, great job. All right, to you and Ray, great. Congratulations on the first quarter. You know, my initial thought was when I was listening, I said, God, I wonder how this economy is affecting them. It seems like we're still in line with what our mission is, what our goal is, at least. Am I correct?
Yeah, we continue to see great activity. I mean, Ray probably can provide a little bit more detail on a granular level, but we're not seeing many objections to what is going on in the landscape. I think the most exciting piece is we're starting to see people engage on the campaign story. You know, when we look at the success we talked about, it's important to recognize we're seeing these gifts and this support for the campaign commitments for that story. Mm-hmm. And again, that's the whole point of a campaign.
And do me a favor, make sure that you extend our thanks to our foundation members who are involved in the campaign and who may not be physically there but are giving financially. Yeah. I spent 7 years on the foundation board, and I know they're volunteering their services, they're volunteering their monies, but thank them for us.
I will.
And the other thing I would like to say too is that on behalf of the board, thank you too for encouraging students to develop a giving spirit, because that is going to be important 20, 30 years down the road as we look back, and this institution needs to continue to grow, and we only grow because of our alum.
Yeah, thank you. I want to make one correction, because I mean, I'm looking forward, and when I said 60%, I mean, that's in my head. I'm thinking forward what we expect and know. Really, we're on pace at right around 40% going into the end of the year. But I mean, still, what Ray and I do know is it's a great definition of the work and I think we're on pace better than we have been in any recollection of time that he's been here or I've been here. So,
very good. Very good.
Sorry for that error.
Any other comments from the board? Hearing none, thank you again. Thank you and happy.
Excuse me.
Trustee Barsamo.
Didn't want to butt in front of somebody if they. Mike, thank you for your talk today. So I think you kind of touched upon the one question I had, the 40% of where you're at year to date. Mm-hmm. How does that compare to last year?
It compares tracking ahead. I mean, I think one of the things we really need to look at, if you just looked at the data, and you know, we had the benefit of really accounting for our transformational gift for the Bossert Botwell Health Technology Center. When we move that out and just kind of track on the normal activity, we're ahead. I mean, we're ahead over year. What's the true dollar amount, do you know?
We're up year over year, about $3 million.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. By the end of December 31st, we anticipate we'll be up at least $5 million over year, just what we know is in the transit.
Okay, great, yeah. great. Second question. So the campaign runs through the end of this decade.
Yeah, I mean, on that timeline, we want to achieve that $300 million by 2030.
Right. So resource-wise, do you, from a foundation development standpoint and from a board standpoint, do you have all the resources that you need in order to successfully complete the campaign, or are we still lacking resources?
Do you want me to take a shot at this one? You know, I think it's a great question, and I think when that we look at it kind of in departments, and so there's opportunity for us to kind of work in partnership with the university with some of the call to action to really look at how we can be effective and efficient. I think that if we're going to look at expanding, we're going to have to really potentially have conversation with our leaders here around where do we ramp up frontline work. I think on the operational side, we're in good shape. So back end kind of research, our gift processing, our financial services, we're staffed well, I believe, for that. But we may, you know, the more, it's to some point, right, the more people you go out and see, the more success you're going to have. And so we could potentially want to have conversation, I believe, around ramping up there when the time is right. But we do that in partnership with the resources we have within the foundation, too. The foundation is a partner in financing our work. And so I would say that we'll probably want to talk about that when the time is right with our partners and with the president.
How can the board help you?
Well, I think the board, you all are familiar with the work we're doing, your networks and your connections, and opening up doors for us to go out and talk to people, your own partnership within this campaign when the time is right. I'm lucky enough to have an appointment coming up with one of your board members soon, and I think those kinds of things are tremendously valuable for us. You all know this university intimately, and your advocacy for our momentum, for our work, for our leadership, it pays dividends. We can talk to people, and so that's extremely helpful. I mean, I will say, I've talked to the foundation board about this, there's an expectation from the foundation board members, and we've articulated this a number of times, that 100% of those foundation board members are participating in this campaign. And we talk about it directly with them, and they're excited about that also. And you know, it's a time frame, and that timing matters related to those kinds of conversations, and we certainly understand that.
At the board level, so we just released the 2026 goals, right, for NIU. At a board level, from the foundation standpoint, do you take those goals and rip them apart and understand how the board is aligned with supporting the goals, and vice versa, how the goals are aligned with supporting the foundation board?
Yeah, in fact, that's been a great progress over the last few years, I would say, in our annual planning. We've been planning annually for a good 5-6 years. We get better at it every year. Us have unique experience in strategic planning, but you know, we have to bring the team along with us. But to answer that question, 100% we look at those goals, and we've gotten a lot better and getting our own team very familiar with those goals. And we want to attach up every function in our division to the goals, both directly we can influence, but then indirectly, how do we influence other success connected to the university goals. And then we overlay that with the campaign and the campaign story and the campaign commitments and say, okay, so now how does the campaign support these goals also?
Right. Trustee Athens. Oh, I'm sorry.
Do you have any?
I just have a quick comment, not a question. First of all, you and Ray are doing an amazing job, so thank you very much.
Thank you.
And I was really happy to see the student participation that you have in the campaign, plus the idea that the students would be introduced to fundraising and what you do as a career. When we talk about the goals, we talk about the university being student-centric, and I think it's really interesting how you've tied in the work of the foundation with our goal of being student-centric. So Congratulations on that. Really pleased to see it.
Thank you. I mean, I think that ambassador program actually for us kind of ties nicely into theme three within the university goals of experience and things like that. So thank you. And thank you for your kind comments.
I would agree. I've heard nothing but great things about the both of you. So from a transition standpoint, I don't think it could have gone better for us. So thank you both. Thank Dr. Freeman for the decisions that she made in terms of putting you both into the roles that you're in. Great job, great start. Thank you.
Thank you.
Any other comments? Any other comments? Trustee Wasowitz.
Yeah. Dennis already asked 9 of my 10 questions. I do sense momentum here.
Thank you.
So, I mean, is that just us feeling that? Or,
oh,
this
no.
This is nothing against Catherine and what was going
oh,
on.
Oh, no, I, listen, I
we
think.
We feel like there's momentum going here.
Look, we stand on the shoulders of the ones that came before us. I think that you have to recognize that the work that Catherine did over her 10 years here, getting us to a place where we get to, in a way, reap the benefit of some of that hard work. You know, we don't want to rehash all that past, but you know, there were some tough times and she lived through those with you all. And so this is just an opportunity that Ray and I have been so lucky enough to lead that, you know, you have to recognize even the people that became before those 10 years. You know, President Freeman and I and Ray and the provost, we talk about a lot of other things in the foundation work right now, especially that can partner in new ways. And it's not, I mean, it's because we are in the position to do that with the work that happened before us. So I would like to just recognize, you know, Catherine and her leadership, and because it is really such a great example of why we're able to do this, right? Now, when you talk about momentum in the campaign, I think the story's getting out there. And that was a lot of work to get to that point. And so she was a critical element in getting that done, as well as was, you know, the whole team and people across campus. So, yeah, it's not one person that can take the credit for this at all.
Thank you.
Any other comments?
Trustee Ray, Butler. You got something?
Oh, I'm sorry, Ray, you have a comment?
I just wanted to, as you asked about resources, and we were resources.
Hey, can you go to the microphone?
Yeah,
so it's on the record.
Please.
Just to answer your question, Eric, you asked about resources, Dennis, if we were sufficient at this point. To Mike's point, I think we will at some point need to talk about resources in order to take that next level. We do think we have the resources to complete the campaign at this point with some tweaks here or there. But to speak to the momentum, we are now seeing the fruits of our ability to resource up over the last couple of years. And so we always talk about we have the right we have the right people on the bus, and so we've been spending a lot of time like, are they in the right seats? Are they doing the right jobs? Are we as efficient? Is our technology up to speed? How can we extend our reach? And so all of that is coming together at this time in the campaign, in a public phase that's allowing us to really get the message out there, gain momentum at almost every level, annual giving, major giving. And so it's a wonderful thing, but the resources do have a lot to do with that as well.
Trustee Butler.
You sort of began to address my question. I'm famous for my optimism, and that's a bit of satire, but I am wondering if you have any thoughts on any barriers that you think you've been dealing with and overcoming, and things that might be coming in the future that you think is interesting to talk about now as we think about the challenge of achieving this objective and the next stage.
You want to go from the development? I'll talk from the foundation.
Yeah, I mean, I will just point to market volatility, economic downturns, changes in policy at the federal level and state level. All of those have impact on the way our donors think about their giving. When we look at our numbers, we are growing, and this is not unique to NIU. We are growing in terms of dollars raised, but a lot of wealth, as we know, is being concentrated in our country. And so we fortunately last year saw the reverse of our donor count trend, where like most institutions, we were seeing a decline in donors, but increased giving by the donors who do give. So we've been able to work effectively to start reversing that trend by using different technologies, really trying to personalize engagement at scale for as many of our alumni populations as we can. And so that's helping tremendously. But participation across the board is declining. And so if we don't find the ways to make it easy for our donors to give at the middle and lower levels of giving, that not only translates into a lack of immediate resources for our students and programs now, but also doesn't help us build those relationships over the long term and build our base of support and those major donors later in the future.
And on the foundation side, I would just say we're very much engaged at understanding these potential challenges, and then how does that influence the decisions we're making with investment portfolio, even our own far look on multi-year budgeting, which we do at the foundation level, specific to foundation resources. And so, we just do our best, and we have great members on the board, the foundation board, that are keeping pulse on some of these things from their own industry perspectives, and they bring it to the table in a way that is just helping us really, hedge against the risks that we can anticipate or the ones we do know.
Any other questions or comments? Gentlemen, thank you and have a happy holiday.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Moving to agenda item 8, we will now have the President's Report, number 193. President Freeman, will you please present the report?
Thank you, Chair Gales. Agenda item 8A1, Public Safety Radio Connectivity and Equipment. The Department of Public Safety is seeking to enter a multi-year agreement up to 5 years with a single vendor to provide upgraded public safety hardware, portable radios, related systems hardware, dispatch, and portable radio connectivity, ongoing maintenance, monitoring, upgrades, and technical support. Over the maximum 5-year term, the anticipated spend is not to exceed $850,000. The Finance Audit Compliance Facilities and Operations Committee recommends Board of Trustees approval of the request for public safety radio connectivity and equipment.
May I have a motion to approve?
So moved, Barsema.
Second, Wazowitz.
Thank you. Is there any discussion? Hearing none, I call the question. All in favor indicate by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? The motion carries.
Agenda item 8A2, approval of comprehensive Barbary agreement. The College of Law is seeking approval to enter into a comprehensive agreement with Barbary to provide law students with academic success tools, including periodicals, books, subscriptions, database licenses, and other publications, as well as bar preparation resources. The agreement includes services for students at all stages of their Juris Doctorate program, including pre-enrollment and first year through 1L, 2L, 3L, and post-graduation bar review. The agreement also includes resources for faculty. The term of this contract is 4 years and will cost approximately $1.1 million, which will be paid via the academic excellence fee, which is funded through student fees. The Finance Audit Compliance Facilities and Operations Committee recommends Board of Trustee approval of the request for approval of comprehensive Barbary agreement.
Now, due to a conflict, I'll be abstaining from this voting on this item. May I have a motion to approve?
So move, Wazowitz.
Is there a second?
Second, Barsema.
Again, is there any discussion? Trustee Wazowitz.
Yeah, so this is a wash, is what we're looking at here. from a budgetary standpoint?
Yes, the money flows in through student fees, and it is directed to, through the academic excellence fee of the college.
This is something we kind of have to do anyway. I mean, Barbary's a big deal, so.
You know, Cassandra Hill, our dean of the law school, I think spoke to this directly at the FACFO meeting, mm-hmm. and pointed out that these tools have been shown to have very positive impact on student success throughout their law school careers, on their transition to law school, on their bar success rate, which is critical for continued accreditation, and that the faculty have found the resources available to them through Barbary to be helpful in meeting students where they are and making sure they graduate to be the best lawyers possible. I don't know if the provost wants to add anything. She's shaking her head no. Okay.
Okay, I'm good.
Any other discussion? Any other questions? Ms. Doyle, I believe because of my abstention, we're going to have to do a roll call vote.
Trustee Rita Athus?
Yes.
Trustee Dennis Barsima?
Yes.
Vice Chair John Butler?
Yes.
Trustee Veronica Herrero?
Yes.
Trustee James Innes?
Yes.
Trustee Leland Strom? Trustee Eric Watsowitz?
Yes.
Board Chair Montel Gales?
Abstain.
Information items 8B1 through 8B15 were discussed at the November 13th, 2025 committee meetings. Is there interest from our board members in revisiting any of these forwarded information items?
Appears no.
Hearing and seeing none, we'll move to items directly from the president. Agenda items 8C1 through 8C4 are being presented to the board directly from the president. Members of the university leadership team are available and look forward to answering any questions and addressing any concerns regarding these items. Agenda item 8C1, surplus real estate property determination, Monott Building. The Monott Building, located at 148 North 3rd Street in DeKalb, is considered surplus to the university mission requirements. As remote working has created workspace consolidation opportunities on campus, functions previously supported with this building, such as the Center for Governmental Studies, are being relocated to available space within Loudoun Hall by spring 2026. Once this determination is approved, the university will develop more detailed plans for possible disposition options and keep the board appraised through the process. The university recommends Board of Trustees approval of the request for surplus real estate property determination of the Monott Building. Updates will be provided to the board as appropriate, and subsequent approval for actual sale of the property will be requested from the board prior to proceeding with any such transaction.
May I have a motion to approve?
So move, Wasowitz.
Second, Herrero.
Thank you. Any discussion? Hearing none, I'll call a question. All in favor indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? The motion carries.
Agenda item 8C2 is somewhat related to agenda item 8C1. It is the proposed naming of the IASBO building after President William R. Monott. To honor the accomplishments of President Monott, the university proposes naming the IASBO building after him. The building would be known as the William R. Monott Building. Obviously, renaming a building on campus after President Monott is important given the previous action on surplus real estate for the building downtown. Renaming of the IASBO building is particularly fitting given the critical role that President Monott played during his time at NIU as the chair of the Department of Political Science and a key developer of NIU's nationally ranked public administration program, which currently resides in the building. I will also note that President Monott's portrait also currently resides in that building. The proposal for renaming the IASBO building for President Monott was vetted following the university's facility naming policy, and that policy is included in the board report. The university recommends that the Board of Trustees approve the request to name the IASBO building after President William R. Monott.
Thank you. May I have a motion to approve?
So moved, Athus.
Is there a second?
Second, Butler.
Thank you. Any discussion? Trustee Barsima.
Where exactly is this building on campus?
It's just off of Lincoln Highway, kind of opposite where, like, sort of the police station and the Center for Black Studies are. Does anybody want to give a more detailed geographical location? I'm looking at Dr. Streb.
Corner of Lincoln and Carroll, yeah, right near the parking garage.
So the former Minot building downtown, which we just voted to be able to sell it, that housed the Center for Governmental Studies. Are they moving to this building, or where are they moving to, or are they staying in that building?
So right now, the remote work schedules of the Center for Governmental Studies mean that very few people are in that building at any one time. When they transition to main campus, they will be transitioning to space in Loudoun Hall, which is just opposite Altgeld, into an area that our facilities folks have worked really hard to make hospitable to a number of administrative departments that have split on-campus remote working possibilities.
And my last question, have we reviewed this with the Minot family, I assume, and they're in support?
I'm going to look at Dr. Strupp for that.
Yeah, President Minot and Mrs. Minot have both passed. I will say that the Department of Public Administration unanimously supported the naming of the building after President Minot.
Any other discussion? Let me say this is near and dear to my heart. President Minot was the president when I was here as a student leader on campus, and I gladly offer my support for this motion. That said, call the question. All in favor indicate by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? The motion carries.
Agenda item 8C3 is the approval of Northern Illinois University's 2026 university goals. As we've heard previously, the 2026 university goals codify the university's strategic priorities as annual and multi-year goals guided by our strategic action planning framework and its six themes: empowerment and shared responsibility, student recruitment, student success, and student experience, academic excellence and curriculum innovation, diversity, equity, inclusion, and belonging, research, scholarship, artistry, and engagement, and resource development and fiscal responsibility. The 2026 goals build on progress made against our previous year's goals, and they were developed, as we've heard earlier, from the University Advisory Council with feedback from the university community as well as the Board of Trustees. The top priority for NIU in 2026 is financial stability, and the university is committed to ending fiscal year 26 with no budget deficit and to proposing a balanced budget for fiscal year 27. For that reason, as you look through the goals, you will see their goals and objectives that are relevant to resource development and fiscal sustainability included under each theme. The university recommends approval of the 2026 university goals by the Board of Trustees.
Again, may I have a motion to approve?
So moved, Herrero.
Second, Innes.
Thank you. Is there any discussion? Yes, Trustee Wasowitz.
There's an enormous amount of work that goes into this. I think it's, from a public standpoint, might go, oh, here's another document, great. The thought, everything is put in this. We've heard from UAC as well on this, and I just think this is well thought out, well put together. I mean, you can always do something better. As soon as you put it out, the next day there's always something better you could do. But I think this is some good things, and it lays, you know, the roadmap for where we're going for the upcoming year.
Thank you for those comments. Any other discussion? Hearing none. All in favor indicate by saying aye.
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 Any opposed? Any abstentions? The motion carries.
You made the recommendation.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Agenda item 8C4 is University 101 University Experience. This is a presentation on that course by Alicia Shadaman, Vice Provost for Academic Affairs, Kimberly Shattuck, Student Success Librarian, and our own Provost, Provost Lori Ellish Piper. Will you please come to the microphone?
Okay.
Good
Good morning, and thank you for the opportunity to share about UNIV 101 University Experience. Interestingly, all three of us are teaching UNIV 101 this fall. So as we present this, we also are living it and are really excited to have an opportunity to share what we've been doing as well as some changes we've made and also outcomes. Next slide, please. Our presentation will provide a brief connection to university goals, an overview of who our freshman class is, some information about strategies we use to provide support to incoming freshmen, a deep dive on a redesign that we've done with UNIV 101 using data and best practices to ensure that UNIV 101 is really aligned with what we need to do to support our students. We'll talk a little bit about the relaunch of the new redesigned approach, some outcomes, we'll give a student perspective, and then also plans for what comes next because we're always engaged in that process of continuous improvement. Next slide, please. UNIV 101 connects directly to a couple of university goals, specifically Goal 2A, the part about enhancing student success and really thinking about the retention of our first-year students. UNIV 101 is one of the tools that we use to address that. Also, Goal 4A, improving outcomes for students, again, making sure that we are really leaning into strategies to support the retention of our first-year students, making sure that we're looking at populations like our first-gen students or our low-income students or those from marginalized backgrounds, making sure that, in this case, UNIV 101 supports those students. Next slide, please. Our model of student success has six components, and these six components come together to create a holistic view of what we do to support our students. And when we get into the discussion of UNIV 101, you'll see that each of these six components is addressed, and that each of them plays a critical role in the experiences that students have across the semester. Next slide, please. And I'm going to hand off to Alicia now.
Thank you. So this fall, we had an incredible large incoming class. They are half are over first generation, over half are Pell eligible, and 40% are coming from the Cook County, Chicago area. This incoming class had an incredible high GPA, 3.42, and so we're excited to be able to work with them over their freshman year. Next slide, please. One of the other things that we're tracking is dual credit and enrollment programs. They've been in Illinois since 1984, but more schools are offering those college level credit in high school through those different partnerships, mainly with community colleges or test by examination, such as advanced placement exams. As schools expand their offerings, more freshmen are coming to NIU with this college earned credit. And you'll see this chart goes back to 2014, the growth in particular of 1 to 23 credit hours. So we've seen a 50% growth in that same time period. So with more students that are coming in, this provides a little bit of a different context and experience for our freshman students. They may need different skills or knowledge to manage college-level work in college. Those student expectations were based on the high school experience, and so we need to support them in that transition. Next slide, please. So how are we doing that? This is a little bit of an outline. Once a student is admitted to NIU, they go through a POP program, pre-orientation program, that touches on, takes about 30 minutes to go through. It's a series of online modules that explains what the next steps are, and we've been doing that since 2017. They also move to a pre-orientation freshman advising. This is what we've been doing the last 2 years with our academic advising center, where individual appointments are made with students, 45 to 60 minutes, to walk through what that transition looks like before the student attends orientation. Then we have orientation. It's a one-day orientation that's required for all of our admitted freshmen. And then we added, in 2022, a post-orientation self-guided online module, again, that talks them through next steps as they transition and gets them excited about our week of welcome experience. And that leads us up to University 101. Next slide, please.
All right, so that's where I come in. So for the redesign of this class, we really took a collaborative effort, really utilizing the resources that we have at NIU. So you'll see here, the team was the Center for Innovative Teaching and Learning, our first year programs, course, academic affairs, and then myself, I'm the student success librarian. And my research is in student success and connecting our students to the resources, services, and skills that they'll need to succeed, especially in that first year. So I've also taught University 101 previously the past few years, so that was kind of another reason that I took on this role. So the redesign really wanted to create this common syllabus and outcomes with accompanying assignments and online learning modules so that across all of those sections, the students are getting that same content. So we were really looking for that consistency and also being able to build those resources for the instructors who could, you know, pop into this one credit class and deliver that same high quality material and help the students build those skills. And again, as mentioned, the focus was on that transition piece. We're hearing from a lot of our students, and they give a reflection at the beginning of the class, and they talk about how difficult that transition is, how their experience in high school didn't quite prepare them for the rigor of college. So we're really focusing on that transition while also building their confidence, and you'll see in a student reflection kind of the impact of the course on that. Next slide, please. Okay, so here are our four core student learning outcomes, and you'll see that there is an emphasis on how well-being has an impact on their academic and career success. So we're really starting them off thinking about, you know, building up to those careers. We are focusing on those academic support services, so both being able to recognize them, but then actually go and use them in that first semester. Building those social connections, since we know that's such an important part of belonging, and developing communication skills, because that is an area that our students have said and have demonstrated that they really need a little skill building around for the college experience and to get them ready for their careers. Next slide, please. So what you'll see here is those four student learning outcomes are actually four different units within the course, and it really aligns with that academic semester. So they start out with well-being, because we know that, you know, that is a very stressful time, those first couple of weeks transitioning, a lot of emotions, a lot of uncertainty. So we start them off building skills, introducing them to different resources, talking about that financial well-being, emotional well-being. And throughout all of this, you're going to see those components from that student success model kind of embedded in these different modules here. The next one we focus on is academic support, because the students are starting to get those assignments, those tests. So really working on things like time management, study skills, that's where we introduce them to the tutoring services and all of those support services we have here at NIU. And then we move into social engagement and health. And that really aligns with homecoming week. So this is when students are, you know, they're meeting friends, they're joining clubs. So really getting them socially engaged, but in a safe and healthy way. And then finally wrapping up with those communication skills. Okay, next slide, please. So for each of these four core units, they are developing SMART goals. So these are goals that are specific, measurable, action-oriented, realistic, and time-bound. And each student creates their own SMART goal for each of these four areas. So I have an example from a student here, and this was their academic success goal. So they said that they were going to set a 25-minute timer when doing their homework. And then after that 25-minute timer goes off, take a 5-minute break. So this is the Pomodoro technique that is something that we teach them in our sections. And what's really important is that they reflect on their why, because that really motivates them to stick to their goals and succeed. So that's kind of built in across this whole course. Again, they develop their own goals, they work on them, they update progress, and we're introducing them to those resources and skill building around those goals. All right, next slide.
(Clears throat)
So with the relaunch in 2024, we offered 11 sections, including one online section. Most of our freshmen do prefer face-to-face classes. However, we wanted to make at least one accessible for those students who are not able to be here on campus. We served about 268 students. We created a community of practice for all of our University 101 instructors, and we met on a monthly basis, including staff from the Center for Innovative Teaching and Learning who supported the redesign. We did not require any course materials for the class. We thought that that was important to make sure that our cost of textbooks was low. And so as a result, we got an award for the no-cost textbook award, which are free or low cost below $40. Next slide. So in fall of 2025, this fall, we offered 12 sections, including one online. And we also experimented with 2 8-week formats, first 8 weeks and second 8 weeks. And early feedback is the first 8 weeks worked really, really well. Kimberly actually taught that one. and then we had another faculty member teaching the second 8 week. And the first 8 week, and Kimberly can give you more information, but the first 8 week, it seemed to be the students were getting a lot of information up front, and then they could concentrate on their other classes for that second 8 weeks. So we plan to add a few more of those. All sections were at capacity, 25 students in each, so we served 300 students this semester. Again, we continued with our community of practice. This was led by our provost fellow, and that's a faculty member who does some time with us in the provost office focusing on undergraduate student success initiatives. That was Dr. Shannon Becker from World Languages and Cultures, and she oversaw those community of practice meetings. Next slide, please. So as we think about moving forward, one of the big things we have to make sure, is this working? This is a voluntary experience, so it's students who are reaching out and think that they do need the support. So we were looking at completion rates, University 101 completers in fall of 2024, and seeing if they were re-enrolling for spring and fall. And both of those, we saw positive increases in the students that actually completed 101 in comparison to those who did not. And in addition, we're going to evaluate that now at the end of the fall 25 semester and look at their re-enrollment for spring as well as for fall of 26. And then I'll let Kimberly talk about her study.
Okay, so to further assess the impact of University 101, we are currently undergoing a research study, myself and Professor Shannon Becker. We are utilizing research tools that were actually developed as part of a federally funded grant study here at NIU and UIC that developed tools to measure student success. Now, of course, we think of student success in ways that are related to metrics like GPA, persistence, retention, but there are many more ways in which our students conceptualize of their own success. So what this tool does is it does measure those success metrics in addition to things like help-seeking behaviors. So how often are they going to utilize those resources such as tutoring, our writing center? It also looks at how do students define success for themselves and how well were they able to meet their own definitions of success. So we're running that tool currently as we speak. That's wrapping up at the end of this week. And we're going to rerun this study a year from now, hoping to see the students utilizing those services, really building on those skills and improving. And next slide, please. So the next slide, we would have loved to have a student here to meet with all of you, but of course this is an extremely busy time of the year, so one of my students kindly allowed me to share part of his reflection. So at the end of the semester, we have them reflect on how things went, how their goal achievement was, and this is a little excerpt from that I'm going to read. And this is a non-traditional student coming from CPS who is a business major here. So he wrote, "Even though I had some tough moments, I've noticed a lot of personal growth in myself. I've become more aware of how I spend my time. I'm learning to be more responsible and organized. I've started recognizing that success doesn't just come from being smart. It comes from being consistent, showing up, and managing yourself well. I learned that confidence plays a big role in school and life. The more I participated in class and pushed myself out of my comfort zone, the more I realize that I'm capable of doing well when I actually try and ask for help when I need it. I'm leaving the semester feeling more confident, more focused, and ready to do even better next year." So that is what we are looking for. And you can see highlighted some key terms in there, and that really reflects the outcomes of the course. All right, so now we're going to talk about the plans for the future.
So overall, we're very encouraged by the student interest as well as our student outcomes for University 101. It now better reflects what students need to know as they transition from high school into college and is appropriate for a one-credit course. We plan to expand capacity by serving an additional 300 students, and we're excited that the chance staff will be able to have dedicated sections of University 101 to be able to expand that capacity. They're going to be participating in training this spring to be able to launch University 101 in the fall. And University 101 will be part of summer bridge initiatives that are being discussed across campus for the summer of 26. And Honors has also developed a version of University 101. We know our honors students don't typically sign up for UNIV 101, so having a dedicated honors version of University 101 has proven very popular. They tested piloted this fall, and we'll be offering that for fall of 26. And now we're happy to answer any questions you might have.
Very good, very good.
Thank you.
Before we jump into the question phase, let me tell you, that was very smooth. I love the transition there. You guys seem like you practiced for months. Any questions or comments from the board? Trustee Barsamian.
You can go down there first. He complained.
No. I want him to go first. He'll ask all the questions.
Okay, we'll start on this.
Yeah, go on inside.
Great job. Thank you very much. Is there a requirement to take this course for students who enter NIU with a certain GPA, or is this totally discretionary on their part or voluntary on their part?
We encourage students who enter NIU with a lower GPA to take UNIV 101. We partner closely with the academic advisors to help them understand the value of taking this course for their success. But at this point, it is still voluntary. We're seeing an uptick in the number of students who are taking it, and we believe that the data that was briefly summarized today will also be compelling for our advisors and others to discuss with students as they're making choices about their enrollment.
Can you expand a little bit on the last slide that you had, bullet number three, I guess, create the course for academic recovery? What does that entail? I mean, I think I understand what it means, but what does it really mean?
I feel like I might be preempting. So this afternoon at the Baccalaureate Council, we'll be proposing a UNIV special topics class that allow us to create special courses either around to serve special populations or special needs like an academic recovery. While students are in maybe an academic probationary situation, we don't have a required course for them to take. This allows us to build that in to that offering. We have, right now, we have required, if you're on academic, if you're looking at SAP, so making satisfactory academic progress for financial aid, we require them to go to the Husky Academic Success Center, but it's not a four-credit opportunity. So we're going to try to build in some of those UNIV courses so they're also earning credit, improving their GPA as they go through those. So that's something the Baccalaureate Council will be considering this afternoon.
Trustee Wozowicz?
I didn't have any of those questions. Wow. Love you too, Dennis. So I'm curious, are other universities doing university? Obviously UIC is, but is this something just to Illinois or is it around the country?
It's around the country that there's UNIV, different versions of them. Some require them as part of graduation requirements, some do not. I was just looking at Southern Illinois University. They have probably close to 15 to 20 different versions of UNIV 101. I think universities are doing this a lot, particularly, as I mentioned, with more students coming in with college credit, but may or may not be prepared for college-level work. They're building in some of those courses. Yeah, so I think it's very common across the country.
Okay, and then to add on to that, during public comment, we had a parent up here talking about Blackboard. So do we cover Blackboard?
Yes, we do. Having taught the course this semester, we do. We show them how Blackboard works. We help them learn how to navigate through Blackboard. They complete and submit their assignments through Blackboard. We leverage messaging and discussions through Blackboard. We absolutely do invest in guiding them through how to use Blackboard as a tool so that it supports them and provides access to that information.
Thanks. And then the timing of it and how it works. And because I think what we were hearing this morning was more of a timing type thing.
Yeah, and I think also something I've noticed from my teaching of UNIV 101 this semester is students don't know how grades are calculated. they don't understand, they think that, you know, they turn in an assignment, they get it back. They don't necessarily understand that some assignments that are more complex are worth more. They don't understand that what the effect of a missing assignment does on their grading. And so that's one of the things that I want to bring back to the UNIV 101 professional learning community, is to say maybe we need to do a little module on that to help them really understand, because I think when they're looking at what's been turned in and the grades they've earned on the assignments they've submitted, they're not thinking about the impact of those missing assignments. I don't know if Alicia and Kimberly have any more to share on that, but you know, that's definitely something I noticed this semester, that it doesn't feel like most students understand how grades are calculated.
Yeah, I think that goes back to their understanding of how grades are done in high school. So it's a total point value system, but how those get converted to percentages and to grade calculations, letter grades, is something that they don't understand. So it is something that we're going to include more emphasis in to the UNIV 101 course. Yeah. Okay. We do touch on Blackboard as well during orientation several times, but until you're in it and can use it, I think that's where it gets more challenging.
Okay, and then I'm just kind of curious, do we still have textbooks?
yes, we do.
I mean, because I do everything off here, so I don't...
Yeah. We have more professors are moving to course materials, not necessarily ebooks, but digital materials, so videos, embedded assessments, quizzes, all that kind of stuff. But we still have a number of faculty who choose print, as well as make them available in digital format, and then it's up to the student to choose which version they like.
Leather bound books.
Paper, not, yep.
Okay. Wow. Okay, thanks.
Trustee Herrera.
Thank you. So it's great to see that your fall to spring retention is up among participants, and also happy to hear about the Blackboard and all the academic supports, because one thing I do know is that satisfactory academic progress, like, students have no idea how that can just hit you, and then it's often too late by the time they figure that out. So I'm assuming that's part of the curriculum as well. I mean, that's one question. I have a couple others. But
I can address that. So yes, that is, so financial aid comes in, and so we really, again, lean heavily on the expertise that we have here. So a lot of the different units on campus come in, present to the students, answer their questions, and that's one early on, that financial aid does come in and focus on that and the impact that their performance can have on their financial aid opportunities.
Mm-hmm. The other question I had is on the evaluation, and if you all are looking at the utilization of student wellness and academic support services after they've completed the course. Mm-hmm.
Yes, so that's part of that study. So in addition to the use of tutoring services and those traditional academic supports, the study also looks at their usage of, and thinking back to that student success model, to their usage of things like financial aid, career services, well-being supports, our cultural centers. So really kind of holistically and hoping to see, you know, that increase.
Yep.
We also have a baseline from our undergraduate population from that study that was completed in 2024. We ran that study across all of our undergraduates here at NIU and UIC. So we do have sort of a comparison to look at the impact that University 101 can have on our students' utilization of those resources.
But you don't have the report yet.
No. So yeah, that it's closing this Friday. So I know, I wish I had the results for you. But then I think it'll be really interesting to see a year from now, because a lot of times, you know, these resources are introduced and it might take a semester or two for them to really start to use them. Right. We are seeing and we are hearing from our students that they're using them. And certainly, so another one of my roles is in the library, I coordinate our Learning Commons, where we have a lot of academic support services. And we are seeing that stigma coming down, you know, of asking for help. So we're seeing that a lot more with our first year students, which is amazing. But I think we're going to see a year from now that really, you know, build. That's the hope.
Great. That's great. And just my last question is how this, even this one data point that you're sharing on fall to spring, how that's looking once you disaggregate for race and gender.
We can disaggregate for race and gender. There's still a small equity gap, but not as significant in some of the other areas, but there is still a small one. So that is also something that we're paying attention to.
And both, and what about on access, like of students who are taking up the course? What does that,
Oh, is the folks who are in there, are they representative of our student population? We're actually overrepresented on students who are first-gen Pell eligible in UNIV 101.
And then, so underrepresented being by race and gender as well, as we define that?
We're overrepresented, yeah.
Oh, that's great.
Mm-hmm.
That's really good.
Yeah.
Thank you.
And across the board, across disciplines, across colleges. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Trustee Ennis.
I just had a quick comment and then a quick question. My comment is, I absolutely love this, University 101. I took it back in fall 21, and I was I was a non-traditional student, so I was very confused on Blackboard, my NIU, and this helped me. They're still confusing, but it helped me a lot. And then my question is, of the 300 total students in the fall 25 or and the 12 sections, either or, how many of those were chance students or chance sections?
So this fall, we did not have any chance sections. In the fall of 26, we will have dedicated chance sections once those staff are trained on the common syllabus, and that's we're working on that now as we get into spring.
Well, let me say that I think this is a key component to retention. And I'm curious to see, you know, as we build up time in the coursework, how many of our folks go through the program and are retained the following year. I don't know if we've got any stats to really talk about now, but.
In that redesign, the slide that we presented was fall of 24 into fall of 25. So
we
are seeing them retained at a slightly higher rate, yes.
Very good.
Yeah.
Very good.
Alicia and Lori, going back to James's question, the student trustee's question, mm-hmm. even though you don't have dedicated chance sections right now, the fact that first gen and low income and students who have low GPA, students who have gone through the holistic admissions process, mm-hmm. who are essentially the chance population, are still overrepresented in the course.
Yes, yes, that's correct. There just weren't dedicated sections. Yes, mm-hmm. absolutely. Also, just as a follow-up on tracking the data, that's one of the things we want to do. So from that fall 24 group, seeing you know how they re-enrolled or how they were retained for fall 25, following them into next fall, you know, and getting more longitudinal information about whether that impact of taking UNIV 101, whether they continue to you know, outpace their peers, whether they see that impact moving forward. One of the things that I wanted to amplify was Kimberly talked about the SMART goals. Really what we're trying to do there is not just teach them how to write a SMART goal, but try to get them setting goals and being more focused on those goals and using those goals to improve their performance and, you know, really taking that on as kind of how they approach their schoolwork and how they approach other things in their lives. And so that becomes a useful tool or strategy for them that goes far beyond the course.
Very good. Any other comments? Again, fantastic job and happy holidays.
Thank you.
And that concludes the President's report.
Thank you very much, Madam President. Moving to agenda item 9, Chair's report number 115. Item 9A is the closed session minutes review and release. And I believe the language that I'm just going to be using here is that we have opted not to release those, but we need to have a vote to effectuate that.
Just to complete that loop, I've advised the board, we've looked at the closed session minutes, and my advice is not to release any minutes.
Thank you very much. May I have a motion to approve?
So move, Wazowicz.
Is there a second?
Second, Anthus.
Any discussion? Hearing none, calling a question. All in favor indicate by saying aye.
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 Any opposed? Any abstentions? The motion carries. Now we're moving to item 9B is the 2025 annual performance review of President Freeman. As I mentioned before, this is an informational item. We took the opportunity to post the review prior to this meeting in order to get comments. And thank you very much, Ben, for the comments that you provided. I'd also like to offer some thanks to special members on our team. Vice Chair John Butler has done an outstanding job again in herding cattle and ensuring that our document is concise and cohesive. And I thank you. And I'm sure the rest of the board thanks you as well for that. With that said, are there any other matters requiring the attention of the board today? Oh, did I miss something?
Do we need to read that it complies with the law?
It'd be all.
Yeah.
Let me minus my glasses.
Are there any comments?
And you know, forgive me, before I even get to reading anything, and maybe I should read this first and then I'll take the comments. Summary. Northern Illinois University law requires the Board of Trustees to complete an annual performance review of the president, and such review must be made available to the public on the university's internet website, and that's under 110 ILCS 685/30-195, subsection A, and 110 ILCS 685/30-200. The 2025 annual performance review of the President Freeman is included below with the following items: President Freeman's summary, memorandum to the Board of Trustees, and the Board of Trustees summary, memorandum to President Freeman. Now I'll open that up to questions or comments. And Trustee Butler, excuse me, Trustee Barsim, I believe you had a comment.
Okay, yeah, no, thank you. Well, first of all, I would say again, thank you for all of the efforts of yourself, Lisa, and your team. As I think somebody mentioned before in this meeting, no one ever does anything alone. It's a team effort. So I think that we had a really great year here at NIU. As I've mentioned before, I feel the pointers are all going up. As the chair of the FACFO committee, I would point to theme six. And you know, that is, I think, the one area where we fell short of our goal. But I would also say this, remind us of where we came from. The previous year, you know, we had lost over $30 million. So the fact that we fell a bit short of our goal of roughly $15 million of loss, and we wound up at around $18 million, as you all know, we have come a long ways. And the good news in what happened last year is that we discovered some gaps, and we've worked hard to close those gaps. And so that's going to help us as we are in the critical year that we're in right now, fiscal year 26, of reaching a balanced budget. So I honestly look at theme six, where that was one part of theme six, just one part of theme six where we did not make our goal. I actually think some real good came from that in terms of identifying some gaps and then taking the steps to close those gaps. So great job, Lisa. Thank you. Thank you to the team. And I look forward to closing this year in a very robust way.
Any other comments? Well, let me say, because this is a good opportunity for me to thank all of our leadership on the board level for all the committee work that everyone does, from our vice chairs to our chairs of those committees. And I want to do a special thanks to you and Trustee Strom as well. You guys have really dug in on this financial issue and helped us get to where we are today, along with the support of our president, who's done an outstanding job. With that said, if there are no other comments, I'm going to move to agenda item number 10. Are there any other matters? You do have a question or a comment?
I had a comment.
Go ahead, please.
I wanted to echo on, you know, with what Dennis was saying here. This is there's a lot of plates that need to be kept spinning here, and you know, I think what we did financially was, you know, not where we wanted to be, but we've made tremendous progress, and you know, it's forward together, forward, and as we look forward into the next year, a balanced budget, which we've never had here at the university, is a big thing as well. Not to get ahead of ourselves, but it's that stuff that we've faced both on the state and the federal side in terms of research. You know, we're making great progress, you know, there as well, and facing some incredible headwinds. The stuff that we've done with enrollment, and it's not just new students, but it's also retention from what we've heard here before. So there's a lot of things going on here, and I commend, and I know it takes a village to do this, but you know, President Freeman, you and your team are doing some good things, and I hopefully that shows up well to you and to the public in our review, but good job.
Before I forge ahead, is there any other comments? thank you, and thank you. Again, looking at item number 10. Other matters. Are there any other matters requiring the attention of the board today? Hearing none, the next meeting, regularly scheduled meeting of the full Board of Trustees is March 19th, 2026 at 9 a.m. I'll move to agenda item 12, closed session. The board needs to go into closed session. We do not plan to take up any new business following the closed session. May I have a motion to close the public meeting to conduct a closed session to discuss the following subjects authorized by the Illinois Open Meetings Act. Closed session minutes matters as generally described under Section 2C21 of the Open Meetings Act. Collective bargaining matters as generally described under Section 2C2 of the Open Meetings Act. Litigation and risk management matters as generally described under Sections 2C11, 12 of the Open Meetings Act. Real estate matters as generally described under Section 2C5 and 6 of the Open Meetings Act. Personnel matters as generally described under Sections 2C1, 2, 3, and 21 of the Open Meetings Act. May I have a motion, please?
So moved, Torero.
Is there a second?
Second, Athos.
Ms. Stoll, will you please take a roll call vote to close the meeting?
Trustee Rita Athos?
Yes.
Trustee Dennis Barsima?
Yes.
Vice Chair John Butler?
Yes.
Trustee Veronica Herrero?
Yes.
Trustee James Innes?
Yes.
Trustee Leland Strom? Trustee Eric Watsowitz?
Yes.
Board Chair Montel Gales?
Yes. With that said, the meeting is closed, and happy holidays.